its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering here on the ParaX Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and here we are back on another Tuesday.
Yeah, we are. A rainy, stormy...
Again!
Tuesday. Again.
You know, it makes me wonder, can we ever just have kind of some normal days that isn't, you know, like torrential rainfall or... You know, people say, well, this is what it's like in Seattle. No, it's not. Because you know what? No. In Seattle, there's not this oppressive humidity that just never goes away, you know? And it doesn't... There's never torrential rains like this. I mean, it kind of... Mists. There's a mist out there that's just.
Don't we get more rain than they do, technically?
Well, I know that Forks, I don't know about Seattle, but you know, in Forks, they get like 112 inches a year. I mean, they get a lot of rain.
No, but people always talk about Seattle getting so much rain, and I think they get a lot of it, like a lot of days of it, but I don't know that they get the amount that we get. Anyway, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but you know that, and I don't know about Seattle, but you know that the peninsula gets a lot of rain. That's
yeah.
Why it's the rainforest up there. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, but it's a gentle kind of mist that just is so nice, you know? But then when the sun comes out, it's a beautiful day. And there's none of this humidity stuff that hangs out like here. I mean, has there been a day where the humidity hasn't been like 100% in the last week up here? I'm starting to wonder. You know?
I don't know. I guess I don't notice it like other people do. So,
well,
I don't mind it. So,
yeah, I know.
So I can't do that. But
oh
we're
well.
In summer and I love it.
Except that I hate going outside and everything is so wet that you walk under the tree and you just get drenched because then the water comes flying off the leaves. You know.
Yeah.
Which is what happens in my backyard.
Yeah, I had to take the Mojo out, and I was going to say the dog, like, I don't know his name, and oh man, did I get just drenched when it was pouring. I mean, I had a raincoat on, and I was still, I mean, he was soaked after 2 seconds of going out there.
Yeah.
So it was really pouring, but that's good. It is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I know when I got home, too, I dragged Duncan out, because, you know, he won't go out for Casey, really, unless I'm not home, you know, like, if I'm gone for the weekend or something, but, and of course, he had to go, and it was, like, just raining, pouring, torrential, you know, he came back, and he was just, like, just wet from head to toe, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's all good. So, it was good to see you this weekend. Thanks for stopping out and supporting the cause.
No, it was fun. I'm glad I knew a lot of people there, so it was very fun. It was very fun to come, and, you know, I didn't know Ellen was going to be there, and Amy and Eric and different people that I saw that I knew. So, it was a good time. It was fun to catch up with everyone.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cute because Eric had a bunch of cool stuff that, you know, he makes jewelry and things like that, and I nabbed something off of his table before the place even opened. It was like, oh my god, I love that. I've been watching that on, he posts stuff online. I'm like, I gotta get that. And he makes these pendants, and he makes these ties for guys, but I wanted the pendant, and there was only one, and it's called Fordite. Have you heard of it?
No.
This process? No. So Fordite is not a stone. It's what it is that the automobile factories where they make cars, wherever they paint them, I guess layers and layers of paint are on the floor somewhere, you know, or some on some surface. All these layers of paint from all these cars that are getting painted, builds up over time. And so at certain points, they go through and they scrape it off and then they sell it. So you can, what he does is he buys it and makes a little, he cuts it down.
So it's paint? It's like hardened paint or something?
Yeah, and it's layers. So when he sands it down and grinds it down and whatever, you can see all these layers of color.
Oh.
It's super cool. It's super, that's, I'll show it to you. I'll wear it.
I didn't. Did he have more than that one? Because I did kind of look at his stuff. I mean,
he had ties. Like, really, I guess more for men. They were like men's ties. So he's like, oh, well, now I know I should make more for women. I'm like, yeah, they were super cool. So anyway, I feel bad, but I don't really feel that bad because I wanted it. So anyway.
I feel bad, but I don't really. He doesn't care. He sold it. So that's all that matters.
I asked him too. I go, do you mind if you sell this before this place even opens? He's like, are you kidding me? Go for it. So yeah, so I bought it. It was cool. But it was I bought quite a bit there. You know, yeah, it was just, there's so many cool people that make so many amazing things and provide so many cool services, and I'm just, it's an honor to be able to bring those people together and highlight them in the community. So, so it was fun.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and it was fun. And, you know, Eric is pretty talented. He made, Jerry had gifted me with a Bigfoot. I have it as my lucky charm. I always take it with when we're on Bigfoot hunts. But it was it's very pretty, and it's made out of turquoise and different things. It's kind of protection stones, you know? So, yeah, no, he is. And you know, I bought some earrings that are super cool, bring out the hippie in me, you know? But, you know, I always say I'm kind of hippie-ish, you know?
you're a little bit, like, modern hippie.
Modern hippie, you know, yeah. But yeah, no, it was very fun. So I'm looking forward to the next one because you'll probably have a lot more stuff going on because it'll be close to Christmas then.
Yeah, yep. We're doing we're doing the holiday market. We're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna. I mean, we have this last one. I think we had 23 vendors, and that one with everybody that wants to be there, we're gonna say 35 to 40. So. It's going to be a pretty big show.
Mm-hmm.
Time to get everybody get their holiday goodies.
Well, and that's what's so cool about going to shows like this for the holidays, because they're one-of-a-kind gifts, right? It's not like going to the mall or going to a department store or whatever, where a million other people have the same thing. What I mean?
You know, and I understand why people do that.
Absolutely.
I get that. But if you can buy something from your neighbor or your friend or
that
someone
too.
That is putting their heart and soul into their small business, I would even spend more money buying something from my neighbor.
Oh, yeah, me too.
To support their business. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. So. Ghost Dance is saying hippie-ish. Is that even a word? Yes, it is. It's a Steffi word.
It's a Steffi word. Totally
don't
word.
You know this by now? You always say you speak Steffi. But, and so, it was very fun. And stuff, you know, I just got a text from... So, you know, everybody who knows me knows that I am just such an advocate of wildlife, and the whales, you know, the orca whales out in the Salish Sea that I love so much are in so much peril right now. You know, their salmon stocks are being depleted, and three more whales have turned up missing this year that were in the prime of their life, right? And they starved because last time they were seen, they were super skinny, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I've been trying to get a hold. Actually, I just finally texted one of the researchers out there, and I said, oh, we want you to be on our show. And he's like, tell me more. When? I'm like, okay, I'm on the radio now, but I'll call you when I'm done. So everyone look for that to happen, and I think it'll be eye-opening for all of you who will listen to these researchers, because these beautiful beings are in a lot of trouble. They need our help.
Yeah, and we do animal spirit guide shows on a regular basis because we are really connected to animals. I mean, you and I both have animals and feel really, you know, connected to animals in many ways. So I think it's a cool way to connect with the physical representation of, you know, one of those great creatures that can come to us in many forms and gift us with their magic. And, so I think that's going to be really cool.
You know, and for anyone who's had the privilege of seeing those whales, it's spiritual. It really is. When you're out there on the water with them, or even if you're standing on shore, I mean, I'll just never forget when Ruffles, who has since has passed away, you know, 9 years ago now, but he was one of the big males out there and with a 6-foot dorsal fin. And I remember Casey and I had climbed all the way down on the rocks to where the water was, you know, and it gets really deep there really fast. So I'm pretty sure the water 3 feet out from us was probably 40 feet deep. And the whales were coming. And 6 feet away from us, here comes Ruffles with that big dorsal fin. I mean, I felt like we could reach out and touch him, you know? And I just screamed, of course, screamed and jumped up and down. And all the researchers there, it was at the lighthouse, and there's a research bunch there too. And they were all clapping and laughing because we had never seen them from the lighthouse before that time, you know? So it was like they were cheering us on, you know? But what a cool experience to have them just pop up within a few feet, you know, out there.
Yeah,
so.
Agreed. I've done that once. I know you've done it a bunch of times. I've done it once, and it was very moving. So,
yeah. And we try to get out there every year. We're not going to get out there this year now. But, yeah, it's just amazing. They're just wonderful, and that whole island is very magical. I call it the magical place, and that's where I go to collect myself, which I really kind of need to get out there this year, but I don't think I'm gonna. But yeah, I just love to just sit out on that west side and wait for those whales, you know, because it's amazing what you see and what you feel. So, at any rate.
So, I have interesting, there's a comment on our Facebook page, actually, from a friend of mine, Nina. So, hi to Nina and Lynn. I think they're listening. They messaged me earlier and said that they're listening from Maine tonight. They're actually here from Minnesota, but they're out in Maine right now, traveling and listening to the gathering. So,
well, isn't that something?
And she said on our post, she said that she kayaked with the orcas, and it was magical, and she'd love to help save them. So I'm guessing she's going to tune into our show as well. So cool.
I love it. Yeah,
safe and happy travels, gals.
Absolutely. I would love to go to Maine. I've never been to Maine, but I sure hear a lot of good things about that. You know, and it would be really fun to go to the complete opposite side of the country from where I usually am focused, you know. getting back to what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to talk about, Heidi,
we have this topic that comes up every once in a while. And I know it does a lot when I teach paranormal investigation classes, where, you know, you want to get to the what's it really like to be an investigator kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's pretty funny because, a lot of people watch the paranormal shows. I mean, if you're tuning into this, this show, you're probably watching paranormal shows on TV and, you know, the reality ghost hunting shows and all that kind of stuff, right? And a lot of people haven't been on an actual paranormal investigation. I mean, some have. I know people that listen to the show, some of you have, but not everybody has. And so it's, well, what is it like? And so we wanted to talk about the difference between the, I'm using air quotes, reality paranormal investigation shows and actual paranormal investigating. So we want to talk about that for a little bit. And then in those shows, you see people going to, like, Waverly Hills and Ohio State Observatory and stuff like that. And so, you know, you and I have been to a handful of those places. And so we want to talk about, is it the same as you see on TV? Is it better? Is it worse? I mean, so we want to talk about that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the same can be said for the Bigfoot shows, too, right? Because Finding Bigfoot came in and they made it look exciting. And, well, we love being out in the woods, but kind of the same thing, right? You're out there for hours and hours and hours, and you may find one little tidbit, but somehow it all makes it worthwhile. I always say there's no wasted time in the woods anyhow, so it's kind of like a totally different thing, but it doesn't happen like it does in the shows at all. Not in any way, stretch, or form.
No. I mean, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of downtime.
Yes.
When you're doing a paranormal investigation. And in the TV shows, they have the luxury of editing all that out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And they make it look so exciting. You know, especially the paranormal TV shows. You know, and every one of them is the same. It's like they show, you know, a typical TV show. They show a location. They show the setup, which takes on the TV show, like, you know, 5 minutes or not even that, 2 minutes. In reality, depending on what you're setting up, it can take an hour or more, You know, yeah. if you're setting up a DVR system, man, that takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
You know, those large locations, I remember, I think it was Ohio State Reformatory, so Mansfield Prison. Mm-hmm. We were setting up a DVR system, mm-hmm. and it took almost 2 hours. And
oh, my gosh.
We didn't cover hardly any of the ground. We just rolled out everything that we could, and it wasn't covering hardly any of it. And yes, and that was 2 hours yeah. of our, what, 8 hour window that we could be
investigation.
There.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they make it look like it takes like 2 minutes, you know, and it takes a significant amount of time.
It takes a lot of time. You know, the thing with paranormal investigating is the show, you said it, the shows, it makes it look really exciting. And it can be exciting when something happens that we really get down to the bottom of it and we can't explain it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen that often. And mm-hmm. there's so much prep work
yes.
that's involved. Like
yes.
you said, the setting up of equipment, the
yeah.
planning of just wherever you're going to, mm-hmm. if there's any kind of contact with homeowner, business owner, mm-hmm. or if it's a public location, you know, getting the date
yeah.
set.
Oh, yes.
All that back and forth, organizing it, getting everybody, the team together to find
yes,
out.
Yes, that's always tough to get enough people to go if it's a larger investigation because everybody has busy schedules. So yeah. scheduling itself can be a nightmare. You know, and then figuring out, you know, maybe having a pre-meeting with everybody first to determine what equipment we should even take and who should bring what. mm-hmm. And, you know, how long does it take to go through the location with the owners or if it's a public place on your own to find out where the hotspots might be. I mean, yeah, so really actual investigation time in some of these places can be maybe only 50% of the time you're there. And sometimes, you know, we used to go back a couple of times, and you have too. It's
yep.
not all done in one night. Many times it takes a couple of times to go, a couple of investigations. So it's really not like on TV, but it's very fun.
It's fun.
Why else would we do it? You know?
Well, I mean, cause how long have you been investigating? Like how long have you been officially?
Almost a decade.
Yeah. And yeah. that's a long time to be yeah. doing the same thing over and over, frankly.
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
I mean, this is 2000. Yeah. This is our 11th year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long time to do anything.
Yeah.
But it's so, I mean, most people.
Right?
But
I know.
The nuggets that you get out of it yeah. are like, you've got to be kidding me. That's the holy grail. I mean, that's what we're looking for. So it keeps you going.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, if you're intuitive, sensitive like us, and we know that there's ghosts in location, we feel them, we hear them, we maybe even see them, to actually go through the data and get the evidence that we've seen ourselves, like you said, that's what keeps us going, I think, is to be able to prove to everybody, okay, this is, have a look, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I do enjoy it. Actually, Mike in the chat room had a question. He said, do you ever run into a city requiring a permit?
Yep.
Have you ever run into that stuff? I haven't. I mean, I've had to do.
Maybe not a permit. You know, we've had now with squatters, for example, now
yeah.
we just had to write a whole research proposal. I have not heard back from that, but I did submit it about what we wanted to do, and we do need a permit to do that as
yeah.
an overnight thing.
Because
but
of the location.
Because
it isn't open for, we want to mm-hmm. stay overnight, and it's not open
yeah.
for camping.
After hours permit. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, like we're going to camp. No, none of us.
We're not going to be camping. I mean, we're not going to be pitching a tent and sleeping.
No.
Yeah, we can't be there overnight. So, we do have to get permission.
Yep, exactly.
That.
But paranormally speaking, no, I don't think we've ever had to get a permit. We've had to get permission, of course. And that can be a process in itself, right? You have to demonstrate that you can keep it confidential because most places don't want this to get out there, you know? And, you know, we used to, you know, one of my favorite locations that we did was one that we went after ourselves because we had been there, you know, we saw some spirits, you know, and so we went after, and it's a very remote location. And, you know, they said yes, but well, we really had to jump through the hoops to make sure that they understood that it would never get out there. You know,
was it a private residence or was it a...
No, it's a government-owned property, okay. Remote, way out in the woods. And so, you know, they let us use some things on our website, but of course nothing could be remotely construed to be that location, right? So it had to be pictures of... Nobody would ever know that that's where it was from, you know? So we kind of do have to jump through a lot of hoops to get things that we go after. And those are, frankly, are my favorite investigations. When you are somewhere and just out of the blue, you see things and it's like, oh my God, we have to get in here and we have to investigate. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you say, oh, we want to come and investigate, you know? And sometimes they look at you oddly and they say, well, you know, actually there's been a lot of talk about this, you know? And then the stories mm-hmm. start coming out and then, yes, but, you know, and then we have papers, you know, and legalities that they have, you know, we have to sign, they have to sign, and, you know, the whole nine yards. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and, you know, even when, you know, even private residences, paperwork is always necessary, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the confidentiality thing, too, for them is huge because, mm-hmm. you know, you've got people that, I mean, they have neighbors, they have mm-hmm. business, you know, bosses, they have family members that might not be open to this. And then here they're calling in a paranormal investigation team mm-hmm. to, you know, look at their house, stay for how many hours and look for spirits or whatever. I mean, that doesn't always fly. So you really have to prove that you can be professional, mm-hmm. confidential, mm-hmm. you know, and I know from what I've heard from some of the big groups that go out and TV show groups that go out, their paperwork, I can't even imagine what they have to do, I've heard, because, you know, they really have to, you know, fair warning to if it's a small town, mm-hmm. You know, hey, we're coming and we're going to do this, just to let them know, because, I mean, the amount of, I don't know, equipment and people and cars and chaos that might come with that is crazy. So I do believe that they and I've heard a couple of stories about ghost adventures from Iowa and here in Minnesota, all good mm-hmm. stories mm-hmm. that the locals have said, hey, they came in and said, we want to do this, we want to, you know, and we'll spend money in your town, we'll support local businesses, just so you know, and they set it up, and I guess they've done a really great job with that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine the paperwork on their end of things if I they're, know. You know, that's gotta be huge.
Oh, but. Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, and now, you know, Ghost Adventures, they have a very small crew. You know, it's really just them, and they might have, well, because we've met them at Paracon, and they've come riding off of field work and investigations, and it's really just three or four of them, and then they might have two more people, like a driver, and maybe another camera person or something, but they have a pretty small crew.
More than that. It sounded like when I talked to some people here in Minnesota, they had a bigger group than that, because they also have historians and people that are looking up all sorts of information. What I've heard is, you know, up to 15.
Oh. But, mm-hmm. So if they have 15, I'd like to know how many ghost hunters have, because ghost hunters travel with a ginormous crew. You've seen those pictures down at Waverly of the people that own Waverly with all these people, and it's like a group of like 30 or 40 or something, you know.
And I don't know if that was an event or if they have, because they have what they call families out there.
I know, yes.
Hunter families, mm-hmm. and so it's other paranormal groups that are accredited.
I think this was just them, though.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what her name is that owns the place. You've met her, too, I'm sure. Okay. And I think she said that was just them and their crew, and I'm like, oh, holy cow, you know, that's crazy. But, you know, and we were there many years ago, like 5 years ago, you know, so they had been there recently, I think, you know. But, producers, they have a lot of paperwork going on, and I mean, even the Finding Bigfoot bunch, when they were here, the amount of people that were with them was ridiculous. I mean, there was producers constantly hanging out, you know, and it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. But yeah, the paperwork. Oh my. You would have to have a full-time person just to do all the legal paperwork and legalities and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. But it is a lot different. And, you know, they cut out, one of the things that I know they cut out too, we talked about all the setup.
Yeah.
They don't show all the setup. they don't show all the downtime where you're sitting and waiting and you're asking questions and you're, you know, eventually you just start talking to each other because you like, well, what else are we going to do? No, nothing is happening. So we just start talking to each other, which actually sometimes, you know, turns up a little bit of activity.
Yeah.
But they don't ever talk about, I mean, I won't say ever. A lot of times they don't talk about any kind of protections.
They never do. They never talk about that, do they?
And I wonder if it's because they think it might, you know, get the hackles up of some folks. If it starts turning towards anything that people might think is religious or not religious, you know, if it's any kind of, you know, who knows? I don't even know if I want to say it. But anyway, so they never show any of that. And you wonder how much of it do they do? Or are they looking at this more like a job, a business? So it's really like, this is what I do. I go in and do it and I go home and I don't think about it. Because, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of us that are intuitive and we're sensitive. And so for us to just fling the door open, go in, do our thing and walk out and just kind of like, yeah, no problem, whatever. That is very damaging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, so many of them are intuitive, too. You know, Grant Wilson is pretty intuitive.
Yeah.
I think he sees ghosts a lot, too, you know, just from talking with him. And I've, you know, we see him every year at Paracon, which this year we won't see him. But, you know, and I've had a lot of conversations with him. So I think most, honestly, I do think a majority of the ghost hunters on TV are probably also intuitives, you know.
Well, I think they, I mean, there's something that got them into the...
They all have backstories, you know.
So, but I don't know if all of them are, I think maybe doing it over time, they would get more sensitive than maybe they were
when started. It's a learned thing, I think, sometimes too. You know, you open the door and then it just kind of comes. But yeah, so, yeah, it's funny to watch those shows. And I don't watch, I really never watch those anymore. And, you know, I constantly get asked by people, oh, have you seen this episode of this show? And I've never even heard of the show because now, you know, back in the day, it was just Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and that was it, you know, and now there's like a bajillion of them, you know, so people still watch them a lot, you know, because I hear this a lot, you know.
Yeah, I do too. And I just, I don't have the time to watch a lot of them. I do watch some of them once in a while, but not often because I'm usually working evenings and I just, I don't record it. But so Mike in the chat room, and this is something that you don't see a lot on some of the show. You do see it on Ghost Adventures because I know Zach wears a mask, but Mike is saying, what about places like Waverly and keeping people away from health risks like asbestos? And I mentioned in the chat room, I answered that and I said that Waverly seemed pretty clean.
Waverly is super clean, actually.
Compared to a lot of places, I think Waverly is pretty clean.
Oh, well, and they work really hard at keeping it clean, I think. And I didn't notice any asbestos because I think it's pretty contained. I'm pretty sure there's asbestos everywhere there. But it's very well maintained there, you know, and they keep it clean. They wash it down, you know, every day. I talked to them a lot about that, actually, when I was there. Because you know me, I talk about weird things. And, you know, they really do go in there, like, quite often, you know, hose it all down and, you know, it's pretty clean. But no Pemming, which is they call it the Waverly of the North, is awful. It's awful.
And, now, I can't speak into the last year.
No.
I was there a little over a year ago. I can't speak into what's happened in the last year. So this is just from, because you and I were there not too far apart from each other.
Right.
And that was awful. That was I know that they had just started working
it's such,
on
it's such
it
a wreck. It's such a wreck. And, you know, you would think that they would take them, you know, they have all these grandiose ideas about what they can do with that building. But if they're not even going to make it safe for the paranormal investigators who are paying money to go through there, how are they ever going to turn it around and make it into what they want? You know,
well, I think, I mean, it looked like people didn't care. They just went in. You know, let me tell you, the group that I was with, and I'm not going to say who it is, because when we were there, and I know I told you this, a couple of us, we brought masks, and everybody, we knew that we were bringing masks, and we encouraged everybody to get masks. Mm-hmm. We brought masks with asbestos filters on them, because you can get different filters, and so we had the highest level that would be for asbestos.
Right.
And we I wore them. I wore one. Tim wore one. It was weird. I felt like I was scuba diving. But yeah. With all the, I mean, the ceilings had fallen in because everything yeah. was wet. Everything's yeah. wet. So yeah. everything on the floor was wet in all the levels. Yep. The ceiling, the floor, the walls, the pipes, everything had gotten wet, and then it would dry and then get wet and then get dry and then wet yeah. over the months and whatever. So we had no idea
yeah.
what was in the air there. And I was like, I'm not taking any chances. And there were people in our group that wouldn't even wear a little paper mask.
Oh, see, that's dangerous. Now, when we were there, it was in the middle. It was in January, actually. What a crazy time to go to Duluth, Minnesota, in an open air sanatorium. Yeah, but we did. Yeah. But so we didn't notice this, the asbestos. It was horrible because there was ice 2 inches thick on many of the floors. I felt like I could have been wearing ice skates. You know what? We need to come back. We need to go to commercial break. It's 8:31.
I know. I was just looking at it. I was like, oh my gosh, we've just gone through it.
So, anyway, yeah. Stay tuned, everyone. The Gathering Radio Show will be back in 2 minutes on the ParaX Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
For the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the ParaX Radio Network.
I am Oz, the great and powerful. Who are you?
If you please, I'm Dorothy, the small and meek. I've come to ask you...
Silence! The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, whippersnappers! Bring me the broomstick of a witch.
A marvelous broom? But if we do that, we'll have to kill her to get it.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your request. Now go!
But what if she kills us first?
I said go!
What's that? It's Marva's castle guard. And look, there's her broom right in front of the gate. Go get it. All right, I'll go in there, witch or no witch. Guards or no guards. I'll tear them apart.
Oh, no, you won't. Don't think of leaving. My little party's just beginning. I always stir my cauldron Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ParaX Radio Network. Now back off from that broom or I'll turn you into Toto's chew toy.
I do believe in witches. I do.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're talking about paranormally active locations and how it's different maybe from what you see on TV. And we were talking, we had a conversation going about NOPEMing, which is a tuberculosis facility, no longer in use, of course, here in Minnesota that we've been to, and that was really, it was not clean. I don't know that I've seen it. I know some of the bigger shows have gone there, but I don't know that I haven't seen those episodes. I don't even know if they're out there yet. Probably are.
You know, Ghost Adventures was the first one that went there.
Yeah,
and we went there shortly after they were there.
And yeah, we were right after you.
And you were right after us. And, you know, Zach wore a mask the whole time, but he frequently wears a mask.
He usually does, though.
Yeah, but anyway. I don't know that the other two did. But they investigated in the fall, so it could have been that it kind of all settled down before they got there.
I don't know. For how much was on the floor, if there's any asbestos in there and you're walking on it, which you would have to.
Well, of course. Yeah.
It's going to puff up and go in the air and it's so dangerous. I wouldn't take the risk at all.
It is dangerous. Yeah. And it's too bad because it's a grand old lady is what I call it, because it's a huge, huge old tuberculosis hospital up there. And it's beautiful. You know, NOPEMing means healing place in the woods, and it's up in the woods. It's at the top of a hill. Gorgeous. I mean, I remember thinking, man, if you had tuberculosis and you know you had to go somewhere to die, basically, I guess that would have been a nice place to die because it was beautiful and nature was all around and gorgeous scenery, gorgeous place. You know, and there were definitely a lot of activity there when we were there anyway. There was a lot of spirits. You could feel them. You could see them. I would love to go back. Definitely not in the summer. If I went again, it would have to be in January again, probably.
You know? I wouldn't go back unless I knew it was cleaned. I threw away my stuff, like my shoes and everything.
Did you?
I wouldn't wear it. I threw everything away because I was just like, nope, I can't do this. It freaked me out. It was too yucky. And I didn't think any investigation is worth your health.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So if it wasn't cleaned, I wouldn't go back. But it wasn't that active for us. So I don't, I mean, we had some cool stuff, but it wasn't, I would rather go somewhere like Waverly Hills or Ohio State Reformatory again.
You were there in June, though, with the summer shroud. You know, I always say I wouldn't do a big investigation in June near the solstice again, because I think it dampens down the paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, we did another sanatorium, a smaller sanatorium in Minnesota that I am not going to talk about, but it was crazy haunted too. And that, at the time we did it, wasn't in such bad shape, but in the years that have passed since then, it's gotten really bad. And not that I've been in there, I've kind of peeked in the window because I was surprised it was still standing. We happened to be in the area, and so we went and looked, and heavens, there it was, you know. So of course I had to go look in the windows, you know, and well, most of the windows are out, but what I saw just made me sad because it was a really cool place. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of activity there, and you know, let's not be disrespectful to the spirits living there, people. I mean, you know, and I know it's kids, they're there partying, and they, you know, who knows what they're doing up there, but it's totally trashed. And the asbestos, you can see the asbestos is falling out of the ceilings now. And I'm sure from all the people activity in there now. I remember when we investigated there, the whole top story was like an attic, and it was full of bats. It was full of bats. So there were bats flying over our heads the whole time we were in there, which was amazing. And, you know, crazy. And, yeah, I mean, they didn't bother us. I mean, they stayed up, you know.
Yeah, but are far enough away.
Yeah, you know, but they're, you know, paranormal investigating doesn't come without its hazards, you know.
I mean, well, I know, but you don't need to get bit. You don't know when you get bit by a bat half the time, and then you've got rabies, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I love bats. They just need to stay outside, and then we're good.
Bats are creatures, though. I do love bats.
I do too.
Yeah. But anyway, so to get back to the subject, yes, so it's nothing like the TV shows. And then what I always get a kick out of is, you know, every minute is, you know, they show them sitting and maybe nothing is going on, but then there's always something going on, right? Yeah. And in reality, that just doesn't happen very often. And then they're able to, you know, they show, oh, then they all go to the hotel room, you know, and there's five or six of them, whatever, going through all the data. So they have it done right away, and they can get all of the evidence. If there's evidence, you know, they can get it out. When in reality, teams, you know, we're busy. We don't have a whole day to get together and go through those hours. And, you know, every piece of equipment you have out there, let's think about this, people, because people don't understand this. If you have two voice recorders and you're on an investigation that lasts 4 hours, you have 8 hours just of audio to go through yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have a video cam going for all those hours, that's 4 more hours. And it doesn't just take those 4 hours to look through. Because if you find something, if you hear something, or even see something on a video, you have to keep going back to see if it's truly real, or if it's somebody else that was with you, or can this be, you know. And then if you find something that you really think is real, then you share it with everybody who was there. And then what's really sad is when somebody says, oh, that was me.
Yep, after all those hours.
Oh. You know, exactly. So it's very labor intensive is what I'm trying to say. It's very labor intensive, and it doesn't happen with the, you know, and with the snap of the fingers.
And Swanee in the chat room goes, plus two cameras, an SLS, an Ovilus that records, and. He has, I mean, that guy carries equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. He's a whole team just himself. With the amount of equipment he carries. So it takes a lot of time. And that, I mean, props to you, Swanee, because you turn that evidence over faster than, like, between you and Amy, I don't know who's faster. So, and it's awesome to investigate with you guys because you're on top of it with that. So it's really cool because it does take a lot of time. So much time.
Yeah. So, you know, but then when we find something, so here's the cool thing. And what's really fun is that if we feel like there's something happening, we can go right to that spot on all the data and see if there's anything on there, you know, and if there is, great. But so you go through all this, and then, but then when you find something that's real, it's so awesome. It makes it all worthwhile. But I'm not sure that there's many people out there who can actually really, you know, do all this, you know, because it is labor intensive. And sitting in the dark, listen, we spend a lot of time sitting in the dark, talking to the air, you know, like crazy people, really like crazy people, you know, and then waiting. So you ask a question and then you wait for a time period to see if something will answer, you know, on the recorders or in our ears or whatever. And so, yeah, it's just, I remember Grant Wilson said to me once, the first time I met him, I said, you know, we started our group because, you know, we used to watch Ghost Hunters and man, you know, we went on our first investigation with everything we learned from watching. I mean, you know, I went on and on and on. This was like back in 2011 or 2012 or something, you know, and he just looked at me and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, it's kind of boring most of the time.
It can be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. He was so funny. But,
Oh, there's a question in the chat room I want to get to.
Okay.
Let's see here. Lynn is asking, is there a memorable experience you've had? Like, I'm going to guess top experience. We'll go top experience. I know mine.
Yeah, you go first. I got to
think. Not, I guess it's not a good one. I won't. It's like, I'll never forget it. And I know I've probably told the story on the show, so I won't bore anyone to tears. But at the Ohio State Reformatory, the Mansfield Prison, where we were there, and Tim, who knows better, was provoking, and he had been there the year before and had provoked, and they threatened to kill him the year before, and so he came back and he provoked, and they did try to kill him, literally tried to kill him. He would have died if we wouldn't have figured out what was going on, he would have died. And so, of course, I'll never forget that, because that was awful and horrible and traumatic, but we were able to figure out what was going on and basically, I'll say, fix it. It took hours and days for him to feel better. But that was awful. So I can't forget that. I mean, there's been other experiences. Other experiences that have been, you know, good and everything, but that one just overshadows everything because of how traumatic it was.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And, you know, Terry had that issue too. You know, he provoked and he's still suffering the health consequences after all these years. But I think for me, you know, we've had so many experiences, Heidi. I mean, throughout the years, I can think of, I can't even tell them all, you know, because we've had such crazy ones. But I remember when we were very green in the field and we'd only been doing this about a year or two, and we were up in Brainerd at a resort, and I won't say which one. There, Bobby Sullivan had an event there, and he invited us to come and be the paranormal investigators and bring crews, you know, people with us, and, you know, then we had to show the evidence. And, you know, we never go anywhere alone. And somebody said, I can't remember if it was Jerry that asked for a key or something. So I said, yeah, I'll bring it. And so I had to walk down this hallway that the employees there called the Shining Hallway, because that's where all the activity happened, you know, and I was by myself and, you know, it was dark. They had shut off all the lights. And I was walking and something made me look at this room door. And all of a sudden the spirit popped out of the door. I mean, just menacing looking, scared the heck out of me, you know, and I just looked at it and boy, did I book down the hall. And it chased me all the way. And I get to the end of the hall and I'm on my walkie talkie and I'm just crazy, you know, and I walkie and I said, oh my God, you're never going to believe what just happened, you know, and here are the words that came out of my mouth, and they all teased me and said, oh my God, we have to have a t-shirt this. I said, I'm a ghost hunter and I just got scared. it was a very active location. I got to tell you, that place was just rife with spirits. And I remember at the end of that night, I was the first one back to the cabin, and we had this huge cabin that we all shared. I was the only one there, and I went into the bathroom to kind of get ready for bed, and I opened the door, and there stood another one just looking at me. And I'm like, I shut the door, and I said, I'm done with you guys. Stop it now. I had just had it. But yeah, so that was probably one of the funniest things that have happened. But yes.
You know, and sometimes they do that. You know, the spirits, they mess with you.
Yes.
I was at a haunted bed and breakfast, and this was a couple years ago, and I went to the bathroom before, it was even before dinner or anything, and because I had, you know, drop off luggage in the room and go to the bathroom quick, and so I was washing my hands. Well, I went to go into the bathroom, and I turned to pull the door shut, because it was one, I think it went into, or turned to shut the door or something, and there was a guy standing on the other side of the door as I was shutting it, standing there, some spirit guy, and I was like, oh my God, you scared the heck out of me, because I wasn't expecting, you know, you're not investigating yet, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. So you're just thinking, I have to go to the bathroom. And so you turn, and there's this guy standing there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And he's wearing a suit from probably the early 1900s, late 1800s. I was like, what are you doing? Get out of here, man. I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I shut the door, use the restroom. I'm washing my hands, and I look, and I don't see any towel. Like, where is the towel, mm-hmm. paper towel, anything? Mm-hmm. And I turn, and he's behind me in the bathroom now. I'm like, you're going down, man. You know what I can do, right? I said, I will talk to you later, but you mess with me while I'm going to the bathroom, and I'll deal with you now. So,
oh my God, aren't we funny? So see, you talk back too, and I'm just like, I am so done with you spirits. You just leave me alone now. And I slam the door right in his face.
Yeah, that's, I thought, no way, man, leave me alone while I'm going to the restroom. That's just not even cool.
That is, yeah.
Like, have a little respect here.
Yeah, totally. You know, whatever.
But yeah. So it's funny.
Yeah, lots of crazy experiences over the years, and fun and sad experiences, and, you know, because, you know, I'm empathic, so sometimes they realize that that's the case, and then they impose all their feelings on you, like what happened at Waverly, and oh my God, I cried all the way through the fourth floor. You know, it was just awful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what? So Lynn is asking, how do you protect yourselves? Swanee answered, ask your guides to assist you and learn to control your energy bubble, which, yeah, pretty much is what mm-hmm. most of us do, and ask to be protected and put that, you know, a bubble around us. Everyone should do that. If you're out there and you're investigating, you need to protect yourselves for sure.
Yeah. And we, I teach a class, and I think, I know it's a lot of information, so it, and I don't know if she was in that one or not, but I thought she was, because it's, we talk about protections and how to protect yourself. And, you know, when I teach protections, it's anything. It doesn't have to be just spirits. You know, mm-hmm. it's humans are energy. Buildings are energy. Mm-hmm. Things are energy. Places, all the. So it's protections for you
mm-hmm.
anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, so when people want to know how to protect yourself when you go paranormal investigating, it's like, well, that's fine, but you don't do that all the time, but you're a human being that lives and goes to work and breathes and interacts mm-hmm. with people and places and things. This is good stuff for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach it for that reason, because it's, I used to use it at my corporate job. I use it when I'd go mm-hmm. just to antique stores or whatever. I mean, this is good stuff to use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a powerful tool, and everyone should learn how to use it and use it. Yeah. A lot.
And just practice, because it's simple stuff that when I teach it, it's simple, but it's very, you just have to practice. It's just like learning how to play the piano. In the beginning, mm-hmm. it's simple, but you just practice and practice, practice, you get better and better and better. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it's second nature, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then I don't think about it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I do if we're going to somewhere, you know, like one of those big locations, like, you know, mm-hmm. Waverly, or, going to in a couple weeks we're going to the squirrel cage jail,
mm-hmm.
and so I mean, I'll be more focused, plus I'm bringing a group of people, so I will be more focused on protections, because it's not just me and I'm somewhere that I haven't been before. And I'm expecting that there will be spirits there that want to interact. So I will be more on alert, you know?
Exactly.
Plus, I'll be, Tim and I, we do this like umbrella protection over the people that we, just like when we go to the Palmer House too, we do this umbrella protection to make sure that people stay safe because they're in our group. They're our peeps, you know? So you mess with our peeps, you're going to mess with us. And so it helps spirit just think twice about it.
Well, and you know, it really does work. I mean, you know, for example, there's and this is not about an investigation, but there's a bar up in the St. Cloud area that my daughter, when she was with a different band, used to play in. She played with another band that we know, and they hated going there because it was like all their energy was drained the minute they got there, you know? And so before we went, I said to them, I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to protect you. And I'm going to throw the protection over everyone who's there, you know, the other band, you. And you know what? It was like a totally different bunch. You know, they were all just normal. Nobody was like sleeping in the background, you know, or crabby or tired or anything. So yeah, it's very beneficial to know how to do this, you know?
You know, because there's a lot of cool places out there to, you know, if you're curious about the paranormal or want to have an experience, I mean, there's a lot of cool places out there. And some of these buildings are just really amazing in their history and architecture, not anything to do with spirit. So, you know, I encourage people, plus it helps keep these places around, you know, so they don't get demolished or turned into condos or whatever. You know, the more we can go to like Missouri State Penitentiary, I was supposed to go there this year again, and it was hit by a tornado. And so it didn't, I mean, it's not gone, but they had to do extensive renovations to it. And I'm glad they're doing that because we want to keep some of these places around so that it preserves, you know, history. It gives us places to go, safe places. I won't say safe. I'll say safe, but not safe, because you don't want to investigate your house. Like, don't practice in your house.
No.
But you want to have places that you can go and investigate properly. We'll say that. So, you know, we need those places to stay around, so we need people to keep going to them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, you know, we even need to just keep them because just for the architectural value and the fact that they're old and beautiful, and like that church they're tearing down in St. Paul now that should never be torn down. You know what I mean? People just need to be aware of these things. And I'm not saying that's haunted by any way, stretch, or form, but I think we need to preserve the past is what I'm saying. And, you know, if paranormal investigating can help save them, hey, let's do it. So they have the money to keep them there.
Yep.
Like Waverly Hills.
Yep. Exactly. You know, I was at a building, this doesn't have anything, it kind of does with her show, but I was at a antique store in a little town out in Minnesota, and the city was proposing to tear down the whole block of buildings to put up apartments or something. And these buildings were so cool, and they were older, but they owned them, and they were taking care of them, and they weren't in disrepair. And so they had a petition that they were asking people to sign if they wanted to, and of course I signed it. And I did say, you know, because I could feel that there were spirits in there. And I said, you know, another form of revenue, if you're interested, would be paranormal investigating. I can help you set it up. I won't charge you, but I can show you how to set up, you know, so that you could have maybe even just on the weekends, groups come in and investigate, and they pay a little bit to be here or whatever you charge that makes sense, and help keep the building going, you know, and keep it purposeful.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think it's a good way to keep them. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat room too. I'm having a hard time talking here.
We're getting a lot of chats all the
time. We are getting a lot of comments here. You know, they're talking about, you know, the energy in these historic places, even if it's not paranormal, there's still so much historical energy and stuff that you can gather. You know, and then Nina asked, is there a place next on the list you would like to visit, Heidi and Stephanie? And of course, I said Sandhaven is like one of my top-notch things in my bucket list. And it's hard to get in there, you know, because it's on the Turtle River reservation up in North Dakota. Not saying that they probably wouldn't say, sure, go ahead. But it's a long way to go. You know, and it's all outside, right? So the elements and the elements in North Dakota are crazy. And I know it's in bad shape, too. Probably worse than no Pemming, but I don't know that for sure. But I would love, love, love to do that one.
Yeah.
Don't know if we'll ever get there, and it's not publicly open. So that's a place where you need to get permission and jump through the hoops and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I would like to go. I posted this in the chat room, Trans-Allegheny, the asylum. I'd love to go there.
Yeah.
It's a drive, but yeah. I'd like to go there. I haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some places I would go back to that I've already been that I would just like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah. So, I would like to go back to Waverly. I think that was an amazing place. I know before we went, you know, we used to watch all the because almost all the TV ghost hunters have been there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember the ghost on the Ghost Hunter show, they said, you know, when you're there, you are the hunted, not the ghosts.
They're yeah.
You. And yeah, it's true. It's absolutely.
Well, unless Tim's there, because they tried to chase him and he chased them. I'm like, okay, let's just settle down. That's Tim, though. But yeah, yeah. That place, if you've seen the shows, it is as cool as you've seen.
Yeah, it really is. And it is unbelievable the amount of spirits there. They're everywhere. Yeah. I remember getting, the minute we drove onto the property, I got a massive headache because there's so much paranormal energy there. And it lasted the entire 8 hours we were there until we left. And the minute we drove away, it was gone, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's a crazy, crazy place. And I would like to get back there in the next year or two. I think it'd be really fun. Mm-hmm. I still would like to go back to Nopeming though too. In the winter when things are frozen.
Good luck.
But when things are frozen,
I don't care.
You're a layer of ice, it's okay. You know.
There's nowhere to sit. They didn't have any, you have to sit on the nasty floor or go outside. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not that I need to sit the whole time, but when you stand for 8 hours too, that just gets
too
to be
much.
A little
it's yeah,
too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many places I want to go. I do want to run a couple of trips next year. I'm doing one in a couple of weeks where I'm bringing, you know, anybody that wants to sign up, you know, can come. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do a couple next year, and I'd love to go to Waverly as one of them mm-hmm. because that place, it's just cool. And it's neat. Cool. Like the architecture is neat. So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, and all those cool winged creatures. What do they call them? Gargoyles.
Mothman. Oh, the gargoyles. I'm like, Mothman.
No, not Mothman.
I want to see
gargoyles.
Mothman. Any winged amazing. Creature, I'm like, Mothman. No, it's the gargoyles are outside.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
They are so awesome. Yeah. The whole place is just phenomenal. And wow. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
So,
lots of cool places out there.
For sure.
And we could talk about them for another hour, but we've run out of time in this hour.
We have. It's 8:58. Goodness. Well, next week on the show, Heidi, we have Wendy Webb, who's a Minnesota author, and she is the author of several paranormal novels with paranormal twists. Let's just say that. And her latest one is called Women of the Lake, or Daughters of the Lake. I'm sorry. Phenomenal book. It's all about Lake Superior. It takes place on Lake Superior, and you know, everyone says the lake is a spirit itself, you know, that never gives up her dead, right?
I'll so there's reading it by next week.
A lot of lore about Superior, so you will love it. You won't be able to put it down until it's read. You know, I started reading it again because it's been a long time since I read it. But so join us next week for Wendy Webb. We'll be talking paranormal stuff and her books, and it'll be a good show.
Yes, definitely. And I just want to say thanks to everybody that joined us tonight in the chat room and everybody that's tuning in, listening wherever you are, even if you're on the other side of the planet or in Maine, those gals that are in Maine or here in Minnesota, mm-hmm. thank you. Troops that are serving, thank you for your service. And if you tuned in tonight, we're glad to have you here. Nice. Sarge, our producer, Para X Network mm-hmm. for hosting us. Right, Steph? I think I got it all, right?
I think we did. I think we got
Good.
It all.
We're good. So thank you. Lots of thanks to everybody.
Yes. Have a good week, everyone. We'll see you right here next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Bye-bye.